Today on Real Life Radio.
Have you noticed, as a Christian, you feel kind of odd around here? You feel like you don't belong. And the world wishes we would leave. Brother, I'm hoping in the next 3 minutes we leave. Right? Amen. Yes, let's go. This world, it's nothing anymore. I don't want it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, this is Jack Hibbs here, and I want to encourage you to get our brand new book, Living in the Days of Deception. This book is specifically written to help you and I navigate these very deceptive times. Here's a special offer. Yes, it is available wherever books are sold. However, right here at jackhibbs.com, if you order it here with us, you will get and only get right here 4 video teachings where I address certain aspects of the book with you personally. And so we look forward to you getting your own copy, Living in the Days of Deception, right here at jackhibbs.com, and you can get the 4 exclusive bonus teachings as well.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. Once again, jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his new series, 1 Peter, with a message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2. Now, the Apostle Peter, with words of encouragement, arrives just in time to bring comfort and inspiration to all the Christ followers of his day. You see, Peter understood how hard it was to stay focused on Christ in times of trouble, and, of course, our need for encouragement. But he also knew how hardship helps us grow in our faith. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that we need to be anchored to Christ now more than ever before. Without him, we can do nothing or be good enough. It's not at all what we've done, but what Christ has done for us. Now, with his message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The doctrine of election. People will say, oh, what does that mean? Well, the Bible says what it means. And then there's this group over here. There's this group that says it means this. And there's a group over here and says it means that. These people won't talk to those people. They won't go to church with them. There's these great scholars who quote all these great scholars. And then there's this group and they quote all the, are you with me? They'll get knocked down, drag out fights over this issue. Can you imagine? Let me sarcastically rephrase this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the will of God, to the elect, all of you, duke it out and may the best man win. They're hurting. They're running for their lives. And Peter, don't miss it, Peter instantly gives them a word of comfort. Elect. It's to bring you comfort, not to get you into a fight with other believers. And the word means that God chose you. God selected you. And we'll see in a moment that the Bible says that God did this before the world was ever created. I find that wonderful. I find that comforting. This is a very important thing. In my notes, I just wrote down, I love this wonderful, comforting doctrine that God elects those that are his. Now listen, just lay it down right now. Here we go. You hanging on? The people who are comforted by that, oh yes, according to God's election, he's chosen his own kids. I'm comforted by that. Are you comforted by that? I hope you are. I just love it. Amen. Hallelujah. It kind of gets me excited about living the rest of my Christian life. And then there's the people that want to argue and they want to gripe about it and they want to get all involved in it. By the way, I find a lot of those people, there's people who are non-Christians. They don't even believe in God. And they want to talk about this. It kind of sounds like this. So you're a Christian, huh? That's right. Oh, so your God sends people to hell, huh? Have you ever had that happen to you? No, he actually doesn't.
Well, isn't there a hell?
Yeah.
Well, aren't there people in it?
Yeah. See, he sends them to hell. No, that's not what the Bible says. Listen, everything that we're going to learn about, God is based upon his infinite love. God by nature and character is love. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. God tells us, listen, God tells us to preach the gospel to everybody. God tells you and I to share the gospel with those that we know, those that we don't know, right? Does he not say that? Listen, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God says in the Bible that I've given to certain people the gift of an evangelist. Listen, if your entrance into heaven or hell is already predetermined to this, to the point where you don't make a decision, then why did God give the gift of an evangelist to people? It is vitally important. Now, God knows all things. You and I do not, not even close, right? God is eternal. He's not a human. God doesn't live according to our time. I'm not 20 minutes and 9 seconds into this message. That's my time zone. God is eternal. And that brings me great comfort because the Bible teaches us clearly. Listen, in John chapter 17, verses 6 and 14, Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus says the Father gives him those who believe in him. And in this context, it's the disciples, soon to be after his ascension, the apostles. I find this comforting. In John 17, 14, Jesus said, the world hated me and they're going to hate you guys. The world hates you guys. Listen, I'm not up on the Hollywood scene, but I guess this is viral. It's huge all over the web, all over the Twitter or Instagram. I don't know where it happened, but I've heard about it in the news. You guys, there's an actor. I guess he's big time. He's in Jurassic Park and stuff like that. A young guy. I guess he's a great actor. I don't know anything about him except this. A famous director this week either got sick or had a heart attack or something happened. This man, he Instagram or text the guy, whatever, and said, I'm praying for you, and I encourage everyone to pray for his speedy recovery. End of story. This guy has been absolutely destroyed on the internet. Why? Because he's praying. He believes in prayer. He's been roasted. People have attacked him. Some people have said he'll never get another job in Hollywood. The director that had the heart attack publicly wrote back and said, thank you. Thank you for praying for me. But our world is becoming so much like the world of Nero that if somebody says they're praying for another, you're hated. You're going to be attacked for even aligning yourself with a spiritual issue. Are you with me? Yes. He never mentioned Jesus. He never mentioned Bible. He never mentioned God. Could you imagine if he did? He would have been killed by now, probably, for crying out loud. And yet that's exactly the world that you and I now are sailing in. And you and I need to be anchored to Christ like never before. You're going to be hated at your job. You're going to be hated in your neighborhood. The end of the days in which we're living, we're watching husbands now hating wives for their love for Jesus, or wives hating husbands for their commitment to Christ. We live in a tremendous age. Jesus is just simply saying, Father, you've given them to me and they're not of this world. I'm not of this world anymore. You're not of this world. You know, have you noticed as a Christian, you feel kind of odd around here. You feel like you don't belong. And the world wishes we would leave. Brother, I'm hoping in the next 3 minutes we leave. Right? Amen. Yes, let's go. This world, it's nothing anymore. I don't want it. We're not of this world. God exercises the doctrine of election. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37. God says, because he loved your fathers and therefore he chose their descendants after them and brought you out of Egypt with his presence and with his mighty power. God chose. Notice Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, which is funny. They were not holy. They were causing them all kinds of grief. They were getting in trouble constantly. They were a set apart people, an elect people. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself.
self. Are you a Christian today? You want to know why you're a Christian? The Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself. That's it. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, I'm like really cute, aren't I? Doesn't God think I'm cute? No. Well, is it my tremendous personality, Jack? Isn't that what God did for me? Nope. Oh, surely it's because I helped a little lady across the street, right? That's why. Nope. Listen to this. God chooses. And I hate to burst your bubble, but let me be the first one to do it. It could lead to great benefit for you. God is not impressed with your morality. God is not impressed with your church attendance. He's not impressed with anything that you do that you would deem moral if you're not a Christian, a Christ follower. God chooses his people. We'll see in a moment. He chooses them in eternity before you and I ever had a chance to do anything good or bad. Go figure that. Sit on that for a while. Think that one through. It's all rooted in his infinite love. God makes his, listen, I don't even like using the word decision. It doesn't even work right. God knew, based upon his foreknowledge, rooted in the fact that he is infinitely loving, knowing in the future those that would be his and those that would not be his. And you think of that for a moment. On what criteria, on what basis is this lived out in real life, in real time? John chapter 15, verse 5. John 15, 5 and verse 16. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, that is a very important word. It means live with, dwell. Now, I don't mean to demean or lower the value of the word, but to relate in our culture in Southern California, it would be, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who hangs out with me. Now that's California slang. But it means you get up with God, you live with God, you go to bed with God, you're always with God. It's God's focal point of your life.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Is in me and I am in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 16, you did not choose me. See, did you think you chose Christ when you came to Christ? The Bible says, Jesus said, you did not choose me. But I chose you and appointed you, wow, that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you to advance the kingdom, to honor God's name, to live for him. What an amazing statement. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. Don't think this whole thing started with me, with you choosing me. I chose you. Do you know what the implication of this means? It means that you can't think a thought of choosing God unless God has had in his heart the thought of choosing you. Now, why would God do that? How would God do that? Jack, didn't you just defeat your message? Doesn't that mean that God sends some people to heaven of his own volition and sends some people to hell of his own choosing? Not at all. God knows all things in advance, as we shall see in a moment. Just hang on. Write these verses down. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Wow. What does this mean? Before anything physical was ever created, that's good for our thinking. It's hard, but before there was ever a universe, God chose us. Before there were ever any angels created, God chose us. In eternity, which is amazing, we don't even know what we're talking about when we talk about eternity. Nobody knows. If somebody writes a book on eternity, don't buy it. They can only speculate. We don't know. Well, I wrote a book on this very topic, the election of God, and I'm going to explain it all. I got news for you. I read Charles Spurgeon, Charles Stanley, Chuck Smith, John MacArthur, F.F. Bruce, F.B. Meyer, Nesbitt, I'm losing Grudem, Pink, thank you, J.C. Ryle, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I got all the books stacked this high. I'm not joking. 3.5-4 feet high stack of books on this stuff. Wonderful, awesome men of God. They all disagree. They all have a different explanation, but they all listen. They all come to the same conclusion. God, they default, as we default now. God is infinitely loving. And for God to be just and holy, for his word to be true, the offer of salvation is presented to all, for God is not willing that any should perish, again, but that all should come to repentance, that those who are in hell today went to hell, inherited hell, not because of their sins. That's why it throws this ridiculous argument. Oh, if I'm just good enough, forget it. You can never be good enough. Nobody's in hell right now because of their sins. They're in hell tonight or today because they rejected their only hope of being rescued. That's the Messiah. They rejected the gospel. Jesus died for all of mankind's sins, but the benefit of his death only benefits those who accept the message of the cross. This is very simple, but very profound. Christ died that we might be saved. And the only way that you can have a good God and a hot hell is because man's responsible for rejecting Christ. Because you can't have a good God if God sends people to hell without them having any chance of making any choice. I had somebody tell me, if I wasn't a Christian, I would have punched him. I mean, I'm telling you right now. This guy told me, you know what? God sends some people to heaven. You don't make any decisions about it. You're going if you like it or not. And some people God sends to hell. And they're even if those people who are going to hell wanted to go to heaven, they can't go because God already determined that they're going to hell. You know what? That person, I pray, would lose their voice and could not repeat that kind of venom. That's insane. Isn't it funny? God says, if you'll come to me, I will in no wise turn you away. And therein is the issue. If you flip it over and you do not come to him and you wind up in hell, it's because, listen, he paid it all. He loved you anyway, but you rejected him and you turned and ran away from him. And you're there of your own choosing. And God doesn't want you there. He doesn't want you to go there. The next thing that we see is regarding this, and it's that doctrine of foreknowledge. And for that, we see that we're anchored to the infinite love of God, and that his love is preceding. God's love is preceding in the sense of prophetic. It's hard to even use that verbiage because it transcends that. But look at the verse 2 continues that he's done this regarding the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father, his foreknowledge. You may recognize immediately the word in Greek for foreknowledge, prognosis. It means to have pre-knowledge. It means to know something in advance. Listen, the word means that God knows everything in the now. See, we start to lose our way, church, when we start to have God become just a big version of who we are. He's not a big version of us. You and I live in a timeline of things. I was taught this way regarding it. It's kind of cool, I think. We live in a timeline. God is above it all. Him living in eternity. It's weird, but the world, where God is, the world is beginning. The world is now. The world is ended. Where God is now, it's World War I and it's World War III at the same time. He sees it all in an instant. And the closest we can come, because we live like ants on a line. We just walk in this line. As the Rose Parade in Pasadena on New Year's Day. Have you ever been? Like a million people go to that thing. They all line up. There's a starting point of the parade. And all the floats and the bands and the horses and the clowns and the whatevers are here. And the parade begins. Let's say 7 a.m. It starts. And you're right here in the corner on Colorado Boulevard, right there at the beginning. And you go, oh, look, get your camera. Here comes the McDonald's float. Oh, look at that. There's Ronald McDonald. And you take pictures there. Oh, look, there he goes. Oh, who's next? Oh, Ford Motor Company. Oh, Best in Show or whatever. Oh, look at God. Oh, there you go. There it goes. And you're standing right here and you're going, okay, what's next? Oh, look, Toys R Us. Here comes the Toys R Us float. Are you with me? Now, that's right here. But a mile down, It's the same people like you stand. They've been standing the same time you've been standing. They're on the same street. And they're like this, man, I wish this thing would get started. I'm freezing. I mean, let's get this thing going. It's already started. Are you with me?
Yes.
It just hasn't come yet to you. So now these people are saying, all right, this is cool. Boy, out of the 10 floats I just saw, that's my favorite. These people are saying, here comes the Ronald McDonald float. And they're all excited. Well, you know what? They're coming a little late, don't you think? Well, it all depends on where you're positioned. It's where you're standing. And then these poor people at the end of the parade route, these people have already gone home and are in the hot tub with breakfast. And these people are saying, here comes Ronald McDonald. Dude, he already came. I left hours ago. A timeline. You and I are stuck on that timeline. The only way to see the parade is to get in the Goodyear blimp and fly over it. And then look down and you can say, well, there's the start of the parade right there with Ronnie McDonald up front there. And the back of the parade, there's that one with, you know, E-Trade. That's the last one. And the guy in the blimp can watch the whole thing in the exact same time moment, right? That's a little snapshot of what God sees everything because he has foreknowledge, meaning what? Hey, God! Where's the Toys R Us float? That's the sixth float. How do you know? Because I can see it all at the same time. While I'm at it, God, who says yes to you when the gospel's presented? Manny, Mo, and Jack. Who says no? Fill in the name. Are you with me? How do you know? I see it all at one time. God knows your response when the gospel goes out, which is what? Here it is. Are you ready? Here's another one. Here's another moment, another time mark. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven. Jesus is not a good man. He's not a good prophet. He's God in human flesh, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life because you and I can't. He met the demands of the law in his perfection. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When he met the requirements of the law, Jesus Christ then surrendered himself over to the chastisement of man. The Bible tells us that he was beaten for our transgressions. He was rejected because he lived out what you and I would have lived out in eternity had he not gone to the cross. Jesus never defended himself. He was accused of falsehood. He was condemned to death, crucified on the cross, died, rose again from the dead, ascended back to heaven. And he says, anyone who puts their trust in what I did for them will have eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and live forevermore. That's the gospel.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Anchored to the One True God, Part 2. Thank you for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we will continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Jesus warned us that in the end times, deception, like a virus, will spread like wildfire. Disguised as the answer to all our problems, our secular culture can only offer replacements to the truth. The good news is that the truth of the Bible is the cure. In Pastor Jack Hibbs' new book called Living in the Days of Deception, he exposes the lies with knowledge, experience, and scripture. In a world of deceit, this book is a powerful tool for answers and for truth. From the inspiring foreword written by Mike Pompeo to the final chapter, Living in the Days of Deception is a powerful must-read. Let the deception of this world stop here. Order Living in the Days of Deception today by making a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Order now and you'll receive exclusive bonus video content by Pastor Jack. Go to jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. jackhibbs.com/days.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? Real Life Podcasts with Jack Hibbs brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. Real Life Podcasts and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.